Yo, once again, it's the self-proclaimed champions of movie critique. Your boys, the Cinemaniacs. I'm AJ from New England, and this is George, aka Miles, all the way on the West Coast in Arizona, but not quite Siskel and Ebert, but more like your cousins Ray Ray, Earl, and them discussing what we like about films. This episode is being brought to you by Saran Wrap, reminding you that nobody wants to eat leftovers, but if they have to, you might as well make sure they don't get salmonella. Today, we'll be reviewing the movie Black Klansman. Miles, what do you think about the movie?
Man, to be honest with you, man, I think that it's probably Spike Lee's one of Spike Lee's better joints, at least recently. I think a lot of people were kind of turned off with Chirac and everything else, but this one was spot on, and the fact that it was a true story, it really, really hit home a lot of things, a lot of symbolism, what was going on back then as opposed to today, and just how people see people, you know what I'm saying? So it was a movie that really touched on a lot of points. I know you've got a lot of points to hit on, but I thought it was an overall fantastic movie. I really gave it high praise. The balance between some cringe moments with comedy. There was a lot of stuff that was going on. There was some action, it had you feeling some type of way when you heard a couple of things that was going on up in there, but overall, I thought it was one of his better works. I'm probably gonna go see it again next weekend.
Man, so I have to agree. I would say this is, at the beginning of the year, from the beginning of the year to now, rather, we've seen so many movies. There's not a there, you know, there's not a whole lot that we haven't seen. But I didn't think be anything really that would be able to touch that would really be able to touch Black Panther. And it's crazy because I really I mean I Black Panther is a five out of five for me. But I really there's so many good movies, really so many good Black movies. I don't want to get too ahead of myself with that part, but it's
Right,
so you
right.
know like there's so much so many things. It's really it's an exciting time to be a fan of film right now. I think that this was it was like one of the most uncomfortable movies, but in a great way. It
Oh
was,
man, yeah. Yeah.
I
Yeah,
mean,
it was great.
it wasn't uncomfortable for me. I wouldn't be uncomfortable for us,
I felt great. I
but
felt fine.
it was definitely uncomfortable for some others. I
Yeah.
think now, listen, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't want to say, because we hear, because everything you see or everything we witness now is the greatest thing of all time. And even though it may be the greatest that we've ever seen, sometimes I don't even know if that's true all the time. I just think, sometimes like we just it's something is really good. We just get caught up in the, on the wave of that thing. But I think this I've been trying to think of a Spike Lee joint that I like better than this, and I really don't have one because my for I mean for as long as I can remember, like my favorite Spike Lee movie, don't laugh, has always been School Days. It's crazy fit, having that feeling like, yo, is this the best Spike Lee joint? I really don't know, man. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I would say, and it's hard to be to think about it now. I think it's something that we'll probably have to wait maybe some months a little bit later, or maybe even years to go back and be like, okay, because School Days, I have that on DVD right now. I have that. And there's some others that I like. I'm a Spike Lee fan, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of his movies, for the most part, you know, I get, you know, because a lot of things that I hear about Spike Lee movies from people that really aren't Spike Lee fans are, he's just too deep, and sometimes he loses me. That's the thing that I hear a lot. But, you know, School Days is one. He Got Game. I love He Got Game. The joint with, and I don't know exactly if it was really considered a Spike Lee joint or at all, but the one with the star character of this movie's father, Denzel Washington.
Inside Man.
I think Inside Man. That was one of my favorites too. So those three right there, I hold in high regard. I really love those three movies. But you know what? I got to give it to younger Washington in this thing. He shined, man. This movie was hardcore. I really loved it, you know. And you know, there, you know, like the funny bits that was up in there, the little karate chops and the dialogue, you know. And I want to go ahead and tell you, for you know, up front, thank you for going ahead and giving me, you know, because you checked it first before I did. But you know, I was going to check it regardless. But I asked you a question. I said, is this a type of movie where a lot of folks that really aren't feeling Spike Lee can go ahead and see? And you told me absolutely. So I put that theory to the test, and I brought my wife, and she loved the movie so much. She enjoyed it. And it's one of those type of movies where, you know, when, especially when you're dealing with what you're dealing with, you're thinking about the movie, you know, let's talk about it. It's Black Klansman. So when you're talking about the Klan, you know, you're going to have some white people that's going to say the N-word. They're going to drop the N-word a lot. They're going to have some hate up in their eyes. And some of these dudes that are playing these parts are going to act the part out so well that you almost believe that they are the character that they're portraying. My wife don't like those movies. You know what I'm saying? So number one, she don't like Spike Lee movies like that. And then she hates those type of movies. I can't get her to watch Roots. You know what I'm saying? I can't do it. Can't get her to watch Amistad. I can't get her to watch, what was that, Rosewood. Can't get her to watch any of those movies. So, you know, during the movie, she had a comment. She was like, you know, if I had known that it was going to be kind of like this, I probably wouldn't have wanted to see it. But the way that he balanced those, like I said, the cringeworthy moments, yeah. You know, you'd have some cringeworthy moments, but then you had the comedy. Yeah, so like I was saying, man, I think this movie will go ahead and stand the test of time, but we're going to have to give it time to go ahead and see exactly where it is. And I would say probably like 6 months to a year from now. You know, it's the same type of question that people were asking now when it comes to Black Panther, which I still think is a great movie, like you interjected, 5 out of 5 still. But, you know, being that this is so fresh, I think that's the reason why it's getting high grades, getting high reviews, and it was such an on-time movie. But, you know, a lot of these movies nowadays, especially now, I think, you know, society as a whole is giving us a platform to make these type of movies, and they're so on time because it's current. And I think that because of that, you know, I think that was the reason why this movie shines so much, because the setting was back in the 70s, right? But this movie had a lot of tones that you can pick up on today. And that's what I really, really loved about it. There were some things in there that was just so funny. And then at the end of the movie, he's bringing out the current type of stuff that makes you be like, okay, wow, that's what we're dealing with now. The same exact type of stuff that was going on back then is brought out even more now with all the stuff that you saw at the very end. So, yeah, great.
Yeah. I see, you know, because you think about Spike Lee, you got to think, you know, movies like Do the Right Thing. Like, and you know, like you said, there's She's Gotta Have It. There's Inside Man. There's Malcolm X, Jungle Fever. You know, Crooklyn. You know what I mean? Like these, like, you know, He Got Game. All of those. And so, you know, I don't, I was trying to just, you know, to and see. But I really feel like this is one of his best movies. And I mean, honestly, it is it's to me, this is probably the best movie. This would be the best film of the year, certainly. And I, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm saying that, as it, you know how I feel about Black Panther,
Oh,
and you know how I feel about, you know what I'm saying, like, we've seen Superfly, we've seen Upgrade, we've seen, unfortunately, Jurassic
yeah.
World, you know.
Why did you have to go there? Oh, no. That's like one of the movies that you can
Man,
go ahead and just leave off the list. We did see it, but we can go ahead and get one of those neuralizers and say that we forgot. We didn't, I didn't
hey
get
man,
to see that movie, man. Come on.
and so I think what I think if it definitely has to be nominated. I don't know what's going to beat it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in these cases, a lot of times they'll take some you know, an indie movie out of nowhere, and they'll give it to that. But I really believe that this could be, this should be. Now, you know, we still got some months left in the year, so I guess I can't really say that. You know, one thing that I really, really like about this was that the advertisement, I mean, the way that they advertised it was really kind of genius, because when you saw the commercials, you thought it was just gonna be like, you know, another buddy cop comedy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so it was like, you know, it'll be one of those, like, you know, like, kind of like, not The Other Guys. What is that movie? Like a funny Lethal Weapon or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Dang, think I just did. Oh, okay. The first Lethal Weapon was not funny, but I thought it was more dramatic. Toward the end, they started doing the comedy stuff. But it, but yeah, I come on, man. It was like,
Man, come
it
on, man.
was funny.
That movie had so much dark comedy in the first one, man. You have to go back and check it. The craziness of that movie, that's a whole other topic for a whole other show, man. But yeah, there was dark comedy all throughout that first movie. All throughout.
It was. I think no, you're right. You're right. I know. I knew as soon as I said, I was like, I got that wrong. Well, but yeah, man. Like you said, John David Washington, man. He was. He did his thing. Was shades of his dad. You know, sometimes when, you know what I mean, when he's talking, he sounds like Denzel.
Oh my gosh.
So.
I was telling my wife the same exact thing. I said, if you watch this movie and you close your eyes and just listen to him, you'd swear that that was his father. You'd swear that that was Denzel. He sounds exactly like his dad. And, I mean, like I said, the performance that he gave up in there, and not only him, but I want to make sure that I got his name right, but that was his real name is Adam Driver, right?
His real name is Kylo Ren.
Okay, we'll
So.
say that his name is Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren did the thing, man, as the undercover cop. I was gonna say his name is Kylo Ren because I'm a Jedi, you're a Jedi, but he did his thing too, man. I mean, and he interjected some comedy too, talking about that's not a Jew necklace. This is just the Star of David. I hollered when he gave that line. I was like, this dude is for real. And he was a believable dude, man, when it came to having to get up in there, and as calm as he was in certain scenes, like the interrogation scene when they was about to put the lie detector test on him to find out if he was a Jew or not, and how John David Washington had to come out there and save the day. Otherwise, he was in so much danger playing this undercover cop, undercover role. And I thought that, it showed his brilliance throughout because he was just cool and calm and just he. I mean, man, Kylo, he Jedi mind tricked everybody up in that role, man. I'm telling you.
There was another element of that is how John David Washington, aka Ron Stallworth, was he they actually incorporated a part two, and I know we haven't talked about it, so I don't want to give it away too much, but how Sorry to Bother You, the movie Sorry to Bother You, how they were using the white voice on the phone.
Yeah.
John David Washington's character is using the voice over the phone and was really able to put one over on David Duke.
David.
And it was so crazy because, you know, even though, you know, those movies aren't related, I think they're both socially conscious type of films, and the fact that they chose to use that, like, you know, because that's something that we really do, even, you know,
Right.
into whether it's at work or
Oh man,
when we
come
talk to
on.
bill collectors.
Talk to me
It's
now.
crazy that they never really knew that he was that it was a black dude. And then he even you know, David Duke in the movie, Topher Grace, he was
Oh man.
saying, I only remember Topher Grace for being like a horrible Venom in Spider-Man 3. But anyway, that's here and there.
Yeah.
He was
I can be honest. Oh, man.
like, well, you know, if it's if you know, the way that black people pronounce their R's, it's they say Aura.
All right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like these cats really, it's just amazing, because even as funny as it sounded when he said it, they made a joke out of it, but people really believed then, and I think they believe now, in some aspects, that black people, or it's just like we just learned how to have intelligent conversation,
Right.
or you know what I mean, like, because of him, because of where you grew up or how you talk, like that you know less than people who speak what they call proper English.
Right. The brokenness of it all.
It's just crazy. One thing I want to ask you about, man. I didn't listen, because I'm not sure how that works. I was under the assumption that this was going to be playing in theaters everywhere, and not only that, and this has been a couple of these movies. Like, I'm sorry to bother you. I told you I had to drive like a little more than 30 minutes away from where I live, because no theater around here, and we've got about three or four of them. None of them were playing Sorry to Bother You at all.
Right.
Like it never made it. It never made it here. I had to drive. Geez, I had to drive to Hartford.
Woo.
Like I said, it was about 30 minutes or so from where I'm at, to just to see Sorry to Bother You. And then BlacKkKlansman, there was only one theater here that was, you know what I mean? Like, so I couldn't, it, I didn't have a, like, choices of time. Like, I had to really, you know, I had to, as the church folk would say, press my way
Oh
to the
yeah.
theaters
Oh yeah.
to see this movie. And I'm like, you know, and so I did some looking up, and I saw that they said that theaters won't that a theater won't they won't get it. So it's for, because they're made, you know, the movies that come to the theaters are made by a corporate film buyer. Yeah, man. Okay, my bad. I'm gonna just go back to where I was. This cutoff is crazy. So what I was saying was is crazy. Like, how can you say what the interest is in a certain area? Like, how are they getting this information? And it's crazy if, you know what I'm saying, if they believe that there was that there wasn't much interest in the movie. I happened, like, I went and I look, because when you here we have, you know, we got the Cinemark, and so you can buy your tickets in advance, and you choose your seats. So every time I was going to you know to look into to going on whatever given day, like the shows that were available, there I mean there weren't you know the ideal seats were taken. There weren't like a whole lot of you know what I mean? Like I feel like you know it did well for the times that they played it here. Maybe that had to do with the fact that they weren't showing it everywhere. I don't know, but I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't know how you can definitively say that there's not much interest in a film, when it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how they get that. I think that, you know, that's not, it just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right, because then, you know, when it's time for the award shows and stuff to come out, and of course everybody says, oh, you know, who cares if you get an Oscar? But I'm like, no, I understand, and no, they don't need an Oscar or anything like that to know that the movie is great. But I think that you deserve what you deserve, and in this case, you know, Spike Lee's movie should be nominated for Best Picture, and that's, you know what I mean? Like it should just like it. It should just happen. There were, you know, like there were so many, you know, a couple years ago when none of our movies were nominated, there were so many people that took the position that, you know, well, if you want to win awards, or you want this or that, then you should, you know, then you should make better movies. You should make better shows, and it, you know what I mean? Like, and so. Since then, you know what I mean, like black filmmakers and writers and producers of, I mean, they've been in their bag. They, you know what I mean, like they you know what I mean,
They
like
have.
putting out like some really consistent fire. Like, so now, like there's so many. I just, you know, it's just, I don't know, bro.
Yeah, there's something to that, man. I think when it comes to it, there's and this is just my own opinion, so if anybody gets upset with it, that's cool. There's some politics going on with a lot of this stuff that's happening, because the better movies, the quote unquote woke movies like this, like a Sorry to Bother You. I'll even take it even further, even with a movie that's not really even black, that Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Very, very, very well on time type of movies that it's hard to find a theater to go ahead and watch it. And I don't think that that should be the case, because, you know, I think that both this movie as well as the Mr. Rogers movie, for sure, they're going to get nominated for some sort of type of awards. And when they start winning those joints, then these movie theaters are going to try to go ahead and bring these things back into the theaters for people to see on a broader stage. I don't think that should be the case. But yeah, I think there's some serious politics that goes on with this type of stuff, because what they're saying and what you're seeing is so on time with the times now that I don't think they want people to be this conscious. And that's just my own opinion. I don't think that they want people to know these type of truths or these type of stories, even though they're really, really good. You know, I mean, fantastic, fantastic stories, but because of the truth and the heaviness that's in what you're actually seeing, they don't want this type of stuff to come out, because a lot of stuff will be pointing at, like, say, 45. You know, and 45 is just trying to get through this first term before trying to get a second term going on. You know, people don't like that. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of things in play towards that. And, you know, it sucks for the movie fans, because they have to find different ways to get out and see these movies, as opposed to it just being right down the street or someplace close that they can actually go and see it.
Yeah, let me tell you something, because like you and you know, because you've seen it. This they really, yo, Spike Lee, he threw some body shots at 45, bro.
Oh man, come on now.
It's crazy. And just for everybody, for everybody listening, BlacKkKlansman, I don't know if we said it in the beginning, it's about a black cop. As a matter of fact, he's the first black police officer in this city in Colorado. I can't remember the name of the city right this second, but they were saying at the beginning of the movie that he would be like the Jackie Robinson police force.
Right.
He calls he does he comes up totally, himself. It feels like it started. He just started to see how far he could go with it. He called the KKK, and just kind of put he made it seem like he was white. He put on his white voice, made it seem like he was white, and then had one of the other police officers, one of the white police officers, to be to be him. So he basically catfished the Ku Klux Klan. And so what's happening? So they're gaining, they're gaining intel, stuff. And he gets to the point where he's actually speaking on the phone to David Duke himself. And so he becomes a member. David Duke actually comes to to do the ceremony to initiate him into the Klan. And so there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things I don't want to completely give it away, but the what they were able to do in the movie was show how I mean, like, they show how people, it was like genuine. You're seeing like racism in its purest form. It was so ugly. It was so disheartening, like, and it exists, but it's like to see it, it's like Jesus, and so they're doing it. And then, what I mean? But we're thinking, because, this is like a, like a late 70s, maybe early 80s, to around that time type of movie. It was like, well, this was so long ago. You know what I mean? But then they, like they show, they contrast it to things that are happening, that are happening today, things that have happened. They showed comments from the president, the current president. They show, what I mean, like different things that have happened in the country, and how it compares with what people were doing back then. And just to be able to see that, it's like side by side, you see how much has not really changed. And it's so, you know what I mean? Like, and so, just as a person of color, is like, dag, like, you know what I mean? Like, some of our people will, will say, well, things aren't like that anymore. And you know what I mean? Like, but it, you'll think, but things really haven't changed as much as you think. And that's what it was like at the end of the movie. Like, you see, it's like a visualization that causes you to have, to come to the realization that, like, we still have so far to go. You know what I'm saying? It's not time to relax and just be, and just be chilling. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still so much to be done. Racism is still, it's alive and well. And you know what I mean? Like, and just because it's found, it's found a better hiding spot, doesn't mean that it's disappeared or that it's going anywhere. The crazy was that it was really, at, usually after films like this, I've been in theaters, like, I went to see The Force Awakens, right? And after over, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, standing up, you know what I mean? Like, people were clapping, whistling, standing ovation, right? This movie, I mean, like, the ending in particular was so powerful. At the when the movie was over, it was like somebody started clapping and then stopped, because, Sammy, we looked around and there was mostly white people in the theater, in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was so, like, in that moment, it just got so awkward. But then it wasn't even me. It was just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just for everybody. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, for everybody. I think that usually, because I watch a movie until, you know what I'm saying, like, until the lights come back on, till, like, till the credits are over and all that. I like I went over, I'm walking, you know what I'm saying, like, past people
they won't even, you know what I mean? Like, they won't even look you in the eyes. It was weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the theater, we're outside the theater with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, walking past people that we saw, usually people will, you know, will say like a friendly hello or something like that. People weren't, they wouldn't even talk to us. It's not in a bad, you know, it's like not in a bad, it's just like, it was, like I said, there's mostly white people in the theater and nobody really knew what to say. They were having, you know what I mean? Like, they were having conversation, like, you know, like now what? It was crazy. Yeah. And that's the reason that I say that, you know, this movie deserves an award, because it was one of those, to make somebody, you know, say, have to reflect, like, wow, look where we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, to almost, you know what I'm saying? Like, to make, you make a film that make white people feel guilty and they're not automatically upset. You're doing something. You're doing something.
Yeah, man. You're right about that, man. I mean, the people that were in my theater, you know, it was majority black, and there was sprinkled some, you know, white people up in there too. And, you know, it was kind of like you can sense the awkwardness. And I think the ending of the movie definitely will, because they just bring everything to the forefront to now, today. And they've got real people talking, real videos. You're seeing the actual events. Some of that stuff I hadn't. Yeah, like I was saying, a lot of that stuff. There were some videos of the incident that I hadn't really even seen. So to actually see it at the end, it was kind of like, whoa, you know. And so the way that he brought that to the forefront from the 70s to there, my theater, you know, it got really, really awkward really quick. There was no eye contact from, you know, the folks that were around us that weren't of the same color. But, you know, that's, you know, usually in these type of movies, I don't really get those anyway. You know, it was the same, you know, the same when it comes to any of the movies that I've actually seen in the theater that are kind of like this, with a lot of like racial tension and stuff like that. I don't get those type of contact. You know, when I remember back in the day when I saw Higher Learning and Remy was running amok, killing everybody, mm-hmm. you know, same thing, you know, no contact, no eye contact. Or, you know, you know, the type of feeling that you got was kind of like, we're not those type of people. And of course, we're not, because we're up in here watching it with you. It was the type of vibe that you would get. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you know, this movie was it was definitely an eye opener. It was definitely one of the movies that would keep you woke. Or wake you up if you were kind of sleeping in the sunken place, so to speak. You know, I want to go ahead and give a shout out, you know, for all you The Wire fans out there. They gave my boy a cameo. Clay Davis was up in there, and he gave us his favorite line. So, you know, the fans got a, you know, the crowd that I was with, they got a kick out of that. And, you know, there was the dude that plays, I see him in everything now. The dude that was the key speaker up in there, I call him Dr. Dre, because he was Dr. Dre in that. Every time I see him, whether it's The Walking Dead, or he was on that show for a season of The 24, right? Mm-hmm. I'd just be like, Dre is doing this. Dr. Dre is doing that. He's up in the movie. He makes a little cameo appearance up in here. Strong scenes with what he was saying. Very, very powerful scenes with him. And I want to say, was that Harry Belafonte?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, go see this movie, please. I mean, just go check this out. Like I said, I'm going to go see it on probably this upcoming Saturday again, just to confirm the feeling and what I saw. You know, it was a movie that, you know, will make you feel uncomfortable at times. It'll make you laugh at times, you know, and you know, I just, you know, I think it's one of these type of movies that you really, really do need to go see. Talking to my cousin here off, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak, you know, I told him that my three favorite movies that I've seen this year were The Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor, Sorry to Bother You, even as weird as that was. And we didn't even discuss that one. That one was on 100, you know, when it comes to the weirdness. It was still one of my favorite movies, as well as a movie that didn't really get a whole lot of people talking about it, The Eighth Grade. This one here, Black Klansman, is one of the movies. It trumps those movies. You know, I put it in the same level as the Mr. Rogers. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and give my rating now. I'm just gonna say it's definitely a 5 out of 5 for me. You know, Black Klansman, just like I did with Mr. Rogers. Go see this movie. Don't be a hater. You know, some of these folks out here being haters, I'm looking through some of these timelines of the movie, and you know, and I was kind of surprised that, you know, my main man Boots Riley, who wrote, directed, and created Sorry to Bother You, took such a negative spin on it, you know, on this movie. Didn't really get that, but, you know, he's seeing it from another eye. But as a moviegoer, I think that this is a movie that you'll definitely want to go see. You'll enjoy it. It has something in it for a lot of people. It has a lot of rich, there's a rich storytelling vibe up in here. A lot of history, bringing it into, you know, today's events. There was a line in there, and I'm forgetting earlier on when they were Washington was talking with his chief, and they were kind of talking. He was kind of like, "Do you think they would actually ever really have a guy like David Duke as president?" And the whole entire theater just busted out laughing. I'll say it again. You have your cringeworthies, you have your laughters, you have some lines. It's really a fantastic piece in my book. And so, yeah, I'm giving it 5 out of 5.
Man, I gotta say, even earlier when you had mentioned Higher Learning, you know, I like I really hated Michael Rappaport for a long time.
Oh, man.
For killing Tyra Banks, man. Like,
you know, oh, man.
Problem with that dude, Joe. But yeah, seriously,
he was okay after with Zebra Head, so I kind of let it slide. I had to remind myself that, hey, he's down, you know what I'm saying? He's just playing a role. It was really, really hard because he really did a good job, man. But Zebra Head will make me feel better.
Go ahead, man, I'm telling you, I was watching Higher Learning over again, just hoping that there would be a different ending somehow, you know. But yeah, man, I'm gonna give, like I said, Black Klansman, I'm gonna get out of 5 out of 5, man, and that's not easy to get from me, man. But this is one of those movies. I really wish that that more people we're talking about it, you know, especially, you know what I'm saying, and we're really support on that level. Like I saw Black Panther at the theater. It's crazy. Two of the best films of the year got black in it. But I saw Black Panther like 9 times at the theater. But it, you know, it was easy to see because it was always playing. You know, it's like it's on a like a million screens. So I definitely want to see Black Klansman a couple more times, and hopefully. Like they'll have it available, and not just put it in like one time slot per day, to be able to play it. Like, you know, don't slate it for like 10:20 on a Tuesday night. Like, that's not fair. But
you don't do that.
I think a 5 out of 5, and people, you know what I mean. Like, and of course people will be upset at the film. I saw. Some people trash in a movie, and you know what I'm saying? People generally don't like For You to Rock the Boat. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like in Spike Lee is definitely what we would consider, or what we would call in the black community, a habitual line stepper.
Yes, he is.
Constantly, you know what I mean? Like he's constantly challenging though. And I can appreciate that. You know,
He's not one of those, you know, one of those people who just say things, and you know what I mean, like, and there's no action behind it. I think in making movies like this, you know, your statement is being made loud and clear. You know what I mean? Like, you're actually doing something. You're actually changing, you know, changing some minds and allowing people to see from a perspective that they may not have seen if you were to just tell them. He can visually do it with his films. And so I'm really a fan of him. I'm really a fan of this movie. And of course we missed a couple that, you know, we're going to have to go back and do, cause we still got to do Sorry to Bother You. Still got to do, a couple. I don't think we even did the Ant-Man and the Wasp yet. We both thought that this was the Black Klansman was so, it's such an important movie that we had to do this right away, especially now while it's still in the theaters, because we don't know how much time it has left.
Right.
If you know what I mean, like if we're all still going to see it, you know, maybe it'll. I remember I can't remember what movie it was. They thought wasn't going to do. It was a superhero something a couple months ago. They didn't think that it was going to do as good as it did. And one of the theaters here, like, they ended up putting it on more screens, like the night of, because so there was such a demand, like they were having to turn away too many people.
Okay.
And so, you know, like I said, when you want to do something, it can be done. I think, and like I said, I think this is not only this is something. And when I go to see it again, I'm gonna bring my kids, and I might bring some kids from my church, or just, you know what I mean, like just some kids from my neighborhood, just so that they have an opportunity to see it. I think it's that important of a movie. I really think that this is something great, and it's educational. It gives you, and it'll give you the type of perspective that you really need. You know, I believe that, you know, right. Life is all about how you see things. It's all about perspective and the way that you look at situations, and it, you know what I mean, that determines how you think. So. So for me, five out of five, man. Five out of five.
Five out of five, man. I'm all right with that. And just for all y'all that you know, hey, I know that we keep on talking about it, you know, being woke, sunk in place. Spike Lee told you wake up first. So, you know, hey, he had Lawrence Fishburne come to the screen and tell you to wake up. So that's right. He was on a long, long, long time ago. Just wanted to go ahead and throw that out there, man. But yeah. Yeah, this has been.
It made you take the blue pill.
No, yep, I mean the yep. Blue pill. Yep. Told you wake up. And then he told you if you want, you can take the red or the blue. You know, but hey, you know, it is what it is, man. That was Black Klansman. So excited to have you guys with us on this journey. We got a lot of movies to catch up with. We got some. Now, is there any movies that you're excited to see coming up? Because I really can't really think of what's coming out right now that's interesting me, but I know I'll probably be in the theaters for a couple of others coming up pretty soon.
And this is, I'll be there this week for, I know there's something coming out this week, but I know that one that I'm looking forward to, and this is totally like a 180 from where we at right now, but that Muppet movie with the Muppet Detective. It looked like it's gonna be hilarious, man.
Is it called Sleepy Time or Something Time Murders or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's looking like it's gonna be. I saw that Teen Titans movie too, by the way. That could have. I love Teen Titans. That could have came out on Cartoon Network though. It's a money grab though. I ain't gonna get into that right now,
I know what you're saying, man. I know what you're saying. I'm a fan of the Teen Titans too. I didn't see the movie yet, but something tells me I'll be seeing that in the near future. So yeah, man, that's it.
That's it. All right. The Cinemaniacs, we out.
Signing out. Later.